Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Tuesday, the 27th of May, at least 54 Palestinians have been killed in Israeli airstrikes on Gaza, including dozens sheltering in a school. Cambodia hosts religious leaders, scholars, and representatives of Buddhist and Christian communities as they gather for the 8th Buddhist-Christian Colloquium. But first, Pope Leo XIV meets with the Napoli Football Club after its fourth-ever league victory. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie. Pope Leo XIV met on Tuesday with the football club Napoli, which is celebrating its fourth-ever league victory. In his speech to the players, the Pope stressed that it's the team, not the individual players, which wins a championship. Joseph Tulloch has more.
Pope Leo XIV met on Tuesday morning with members of SSC Napoli, the football club which, on Friday, won the Italian league title. Before beginning his speech, the Pope joked with the players, suggesting that they hadn't wanted to applaud for him because the press had reported that he was a Roma fan.
Non volevano applaudire perché nella stampa dice che io sono romanista. Ma benvenuti.
Pope Leo then read aloud a brief speech, beginning by congratulating the team for their victory, which he called a great celebration for all of Naples. The Pope told the club that in the past, when a team won a trophy, attention was paid to the performances and skills of individual players. Today, however, we recognise, the Pope said, that it's the team who wins the championship. The players, the manager and his staff, and the sports club as a whole. This, Pope Leo said, was the aspect of Napoli's victory that he wanted to emphasise the most. The example of a team in the broad sense which works together with individual talents put at the service of the whole. The Pope then added that he wanted to briefly discuss the educational role of sport. Unfortunately, he said, when sport becomes a business, it risks losing the values that make it educational, and it can even become harmful from an educational point of view. This is particularly important when it comes to teenagers, the Pope noted, saying that what is at stake is the human development of young people. Pope Leo then brought his address to an end by thanking the squad for their visit, congratulating them again on their victory, and offering his blessing to the team members and their families. He also passed on best wishes from Rosa, one of his cooks. Congratulations, he said, also from a lady who's been cooking for me recently, and who is from Naples, Rosa, a big fan.
Dice tanti auguri, vorrebbe essere anche qui lei, la signora Rosa.
I'm Joseph Tulloch.
Religious leaders, scholars, and representatives of Buddhist and Christian communities have gathered this week in Cambodia for the 8th Buddhist-Christian Colloquium. This meeting, taking place from the 26th to the 30th of May at the Catholic Pastoral Center in Phnom Penh, is focusing on the theme Buddhists and Christians Working Together for Peace Through Reconciliation and Resilience. Francesca Merlo tells us more.
Opening the event, Cardinal George Kouvakad, Prefect of the Dicastery for Interreligious Dialogue, welcomed participants by highlighting the importance of cooperation between religious traditions in promoting peace. He said this session offers a sacred space where Buddhists and Christians gather not only as representatives of two venerable traditions, but also as fellow pilgrims united by a common commitment for peace. Cardinal Kouvakad spoke of the global challenges of violence, poverty, injustice, and environmental degradation, and in light of these issues described the colloquium as a sign of hope, stressing the need for religious communities to work together in addressing both the suffering of individuals and the divisions within society. He acknowledged that many people have grown tired and discouraged in the face of constant reports of war and injustice, but he emphasized that both Christians and Buddhists share spiritual resources that can support efforts towards healing. Reconciliation and resilience, he said, are deeply rooted in our respective faiths and are capable of building and sustaining lasting peace. The prefect of the Dicastery for Interreligious Dialogue then quoted Pope Leo XIV, who described peace as an active and demanding gift. The cardinal also recalled the words of Pope Francis, and in particular those of his spiritual testament published shortly after his death, in which he dedicated his final sufferings for peace in the world and for fraternity among peoples. Together, said Cardinal Kouvakad, as Buddhists and Christians, let us explore how reconciliation and resilience can help shape peaceful and compassionate societies. And finally, he reiterated the words of Pope Leo, who said, if we are in agreement and free from ideological and political conditioning, we can be effective in saying no to war and yes to peace, no to the arms race, and yes to disarmament, no to an economy that impoverishes people and the earth, and yes to integral development. I'm Francesca Merlo.
Cardinal Secretary of State Pietro Parolin has granted an interview to Vatican Radio's editorial director Andrea Tornielli to speak about several pressing international issues. The Cardinal said the Holy See calls for international humanitarian law to be respected in Gaza and says the Vatican is willing to host peace talks between Russia and Ukraine if both sides are willing. Devin Watkins reports.
Cardinal Pietro Parolin, Vatican Secretary of State, spoke to Vatican Radio about several issues currently at the center of the Holy See's attention. These include the terrible images coming from Gaza, the anti-Semitic attack in Washington, D.C., the possibility of a peace summit on Ukraine, and the early days of Pope Leo XIV's pontificate. What is happening in Gaza is unacceptable, said Cardinal Parolin. International humanitarian law must always apply, and apply to everyone. The Holy See, he continued, calls for an end to the bombardments and for the necessary aid to reach the population, urging the international community to put an end to the war. At the same time, continued the Cardinal, the Holy See urges Hamas to release all hostages and the bodies of those who have died. He also condemned the recent murder of two Israeli embassy staff in Washington, D.C., saying the cancer of anti-Semitism must not rear its head again. Turning to Russia's war in Ukraine, Cardinal Parolin said Pope Leo XIV has offered the Holy See's full availability to act as a neutral, protected venue for peace talks. He said the most important thing would be for negotiations to begin, not where they are held. First and foremost, a truce is needed to end the devastation, the destroyed cities, the civilians losing their lives, he said. Then it is urgent to reach a stable, just, and lasting peace, one accepted and agreed upon by both sides. The Cardinal recalled that peace was among the new Pope's first words, noting that he repeated St. Paul VI's appeal at the UN, "Never again war." The Cardinal Secretary of State concluded the interview by recalling that Pope Leo has upheld the work of journalists, especially in times of war, and has urged them to reject the paradigm of war. Peace begins in each of us, said Cardinal Parolin, and we are called to build it starting with how we communicate with others. I'm Devin Watkins.
And as the Vatican continues to call for human rights to be respected in Gaza, the situation there remains tense. At least 54 Palestinians have been killed in Israeli airstrikes in the enclave, including dozens sheltering in a school. Nathan Morley tells us more.
The Fahmy al-Jagawi school in Gaza City housed hundreds of displaced families from Beit Lia, an area under heavy Israeli bombardment. At least 35 people died when the school was hit, according to officials. Gaza's Hamas-run civil defense said bodies, including children, were pulled from the wreckage. Two classrooms in the building were being used as living quarters. The Israeli Defense Forces said the strike targeted a Hamas and Islamic Jihad command center. Separately, a strike on a house in northern Gaza's Jabalia reportedly killed 19 people. The Israeli military has not commented on what was being targeted, though. The attacks are part of an intensified Israeli offensive in northern Gaza. The IDF, or Israeli Defense Forces, said it struck 200 targets across the enclave in 48 hours, in operations it said were targeted against terrorist organizations. Meanwhile, Israel's military said on Monday that it had intercepted a missile launched from Yemen towards Israel, triggering warning sirens in parts of the West Bank. No injuries or damage were reported. Yemen's Houthi rebels have launched drone and missile strikes against Israel since November 2023 in solidarity with the Palestinians. In diplomatic developments, Jordan and Norway have renewed calls for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza and unrestricted humanitarian aid. Both countries reiterated support for a two-state solution as the foundation for a lasting peace. The Jordanian foreign minister said Norway's recognition of Palestine reflected its commitment to international law and justice. In other regional developments, UN Women in Lebanon has launched a 2-year initiative aimed at improving women's rights, safety and economic participation. It's targeting 4,600 crisis-affected women across the country, according to a bulletin posted on Lebanon's national news agency, NNA. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
And in other world news, amid ongoing suffering conflict in Myanmar, leaders of Southeast Asian countries gathered for the 46th ASEAN Summit in Kuala Lumpur on Tuesday to highlight the ongoing plight in the country, as well as to appeal to all the nation's parties to expand a temporary ceasefire and to build trust towards convening an inclusive dialogue. Deborah Castellano-Luboff reports.
Leaders of Southeast Asian countries on Tuesday urged all parties in conflict-torn Myanmar to expand a temporary ceasefire and build trust towards convening an inclusive dialogue. They did so during the 46th summit of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, a regional organization comprised of 10 Southeast Asian countries with the primary goals of promoting economic and security cooperation among its member states, one of whom is Myanmar. The 46th ASEAN Summit in Kuala Lumpur concluded Tuesday with discussions focused on regional economic cooperation, efforts to mediate the ongoing crisis in Myanmar, and addressing the impact of U.S. tariffs on ASEAN nations. In a statement, the leaders noted, "We encouraged all relevant stakeholders in Myanmar to build trust towards convening an inclusive national dialogue by continuing to reach out to parties concerned in a sustainable manner with the aim of achieving a durable, peaceful resolution to the crisis." Meanwhile, despite dramatic suffering, the faithful in Myanmar maintain faith and hope, reports the Vatican agency Fides. Father Stephen Chitain, national director of the Pontifical Mission Societies in the country, spoke to the papal agency, observing, "The country is divided. For example, where he lives in Yangon, he said, the situation is quite calm, and in big cities in the central part of the country, people's lives continue and even their liturgies and pastoral activities can proceed in churches. Even if," he noted, "there is a curfew and they live with a series of restrictions due to the ongoing conflict in the country," he said, "they try to live their faith always, with their hearts turned to the mission and those who suffer. Yet the situation," he lamented, "is very different in the peripheral areas of the country, in the border regions," where he acknowledged there is still ongoing fighting, great suffering, and displacement. In addition to the conflict, he remembered the country still faces further hardship from the dramatic 28th of March earthquake. "We are living in a time of great trial, which involves the entire Burmese people," he said. "But our hope," he underscored, "is grounded and rooted in Christ, who never disappoints and never abandons us." I'm Deborah Castellano-Luboff.
And turning to the African continent, gunmen killed at least 20 people during an attack on a village in Nigeria's north-central Benue state over the weekend. The attack took place on Sunday in the village of Aundona in the Gweru West area of the state. While it remains unclear who was responsible for the killings, such attacks are common in Nigeria's northern region, where local herders and farmers often clash over limited access to land and water. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit our Vatican News website, our Facebook, X, and Instagram accounts, where you can follow along with our new Pope, Leo XIV, during all his upcoming events as the 266th successor to St. Peter. Many thanks today go to the great Alberto Giovanetti, our sound engineer in studio. And of course, a special thank you to all of you for listening. And be sure to join us again tomorrow at this same time for more. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie.